Hey everyone, welcome to the show. You know how sometimes work feels like you're walking through a minefield? Like one wrong step, and boom, there's an explosion of misunderstandings and frustrations.
Yeah, I think we've all been there.
But imagine if instead, things just flowed. You know, a truly collaborative environment where everyone's on the same page, everyone feels heard and valued. Wouldn't that be
It
something?
sounds pretty utopian.
Well, it might be closer than we think. And that's what we're diving into today. The nitty-gritty of effective leadership and how to build solid relationships at work, all based on Steve McClatchy's new book, Leading Relationships.
A practical guide to, you could say, mastering the human side of work.
Exactly. So if you're ready to unlock some serious insights and learn how to build those rock-solid connections at work, hit that like button and subscribe so you don't miss out on future deep dives.
You won't regret it.
Now, a little bit about the book. Steve McClatchy, you might know him as the New York Times bestselling author of Decide.
A great book, by the way.
Absolutely. Well, he's back, this time tackling the art of building those meaningful connections, squashing conflict before it even starts, and taking engagement to a whole new level in his latest book, Leading Relationships. You can grab a copy using the link in the description. And we're not just talking about surface-level be nice stuff here. This goes way deeper. We're exploring the fundamental drivers behind how we connect as humans and how to lead with real intention.
And the goal.
To create a work environment where everyone, and I mean everyone, can thrive.
That's ambitious.
It is. But stick with us. This deep dive is packed with those aha moments that you can start using right away. We're going deep into the most impactful ideas from McClatchy's work, especially for those of you, the learners, who want to get to the heart of things quickly, see things from different angles, and really have those light bulb moments, you know, all without getting bogged down in the details. You guys suggested this book, and we're excited to break it down for you.
Unearthing those essential insights that'll help you build stronger relationships and navigate the sometimes messy, sometimes complicated world of, well, people at work.
Let's jump right in. So, Leading Relationships. It all starts with this core desire that every business leader has.
Success.
Right? Absolutely. Winning customers, delivering value, and doing it all profitably.
The bottom line.
But McClatchy, he points out something really interesting right off the bat. He says a bunch of relationship challenges can completely derail those goals.
Like throwing a wrench right into the gears.
Exactly. We're talking about communication breakdowns.
Yeah.
You know, when people just aren't on the same page.
Frustrating.
Totally. And then there's the lack of collaboration, those energy-draining turf wars, and people simply not following through on what they said they'd do.
Mm. Yeah.
All of that, it drains resources and distracts everyone from what really matters,
yeah,
the customer.
And that's where those shattered metrics come in.
Right. But it's not just a feeling, is it? The book actually uses some hard data to back this up. The Gallup Q12 survey, for example.
Oh, yeah. That's a fascinating one.
It makes this direct link between the quality of an employee's relationships, you know, with their manager and colleagues, and how engaged they are at work.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's massively significant.
10 out of those 12 key drivers of engagement that Gallup identified, they're all tied to workplace culture. And guess what McClatchy says is at the very heart of that culture?
Let me guess. Relationships.
You got it. The level of trust that exists in every single one-on-one relationship within the company.
Think about it. Every single interaction you have at work contributes to the overall climate.
It's like each connection is a thread in this big tapestry of company culture.
And the book really hammers this point home. Those good, solid relationships at work, they aren't just a nice perk, you know, some feel-good bonus.
They're absolutely crucial.
McClatchy says they're the biggest factor in determining job satisfaction.
Which makes perfect sense, right? When you're constantly dealing with negativity and friction, it's tough to feel motivated to want to go above and beyond. It's like trying to run uphill with a weight tied to your ankle.
And the book really lays out the consequences of those poor relationships.
Yeah, it's like a whole chain reaction.
Creativity takes a hit. Engagement plummets. Innovation stalls. Morale tanks. And the quality of the work itself suffers. It's a domino effect.
And to really drive that point home, McClatchy gives us some real-life examples from his consulting work.
Oh, those are eye-opening.
Like this food company that's trying to revamp its brand.
Yeah.
But they're totally stuck.
Why?
The internal team is at odds, totally disagreeing about the direction they should take. You have those employees who've been there forever, clashing with the newer folks. It's a recipe for misunderstandings and a lack of respect.
Makes sense. Everyone's coming from a different place.
Exactly. And then there's this sports organization, super popular, prime for expansion.
Sounds like they're in a great spot.
You'd think so, but the CEO is spending most of his time putting out fires between his senior execs.
Instead of focusing on growth.
Yep, talk about a missed opportunity.
And there's more.
Oh yeah, a niche clothing line about to go under because the family members running the show can't agree on the company's future. An entertainment exec who churns through employees because of his abrasive style. Even government agencies struggling with efficiency and cost-effectiveness because of strained internal relationships.
It's clear these aren't just isolated incidents.
They're systemic.
And the real kicker.
All those unresolved relationship problems, they hit the bottom line.
Hard. McClatchy calls it shattered metrics.
Which basically means when teams aren't gelling, when there's a constant undercurrent of conflict and trust is lacking, the core objectives of the business suffer.
It's tough to deliver products, keep customers happy, and build a loyal base when everyone's fighting internally.
So the book doesn't sugarcoat it. It paints a pretty stark picture of what those bad relationships can cost a company. But it doesn't just leave us wallowing in the problem.
Thankfully, no. It offers some real solutions.
And it all starts with the individual.
With ourselves.
Exactly. McClatchy says before you can even think about fixing relationships within a team or across the whole company, you have to look at your own capacity for relationships.
How much can we actually handle?
Right. And he introduces this concept of burnout, you know, that feeling of just going through the motions every day the same, no real progress, no excitement.
Been there.
When we're burned out, our ability to connect with people in a positive way, it takes a nosedive.
It's like trying to give when you've got nothing left to give.
And that's when we can get defensive.
Start blaming others.
Yeah. It's almost like a self-preservation thing, right?
Mm.
When you're feeling depleted, you lash out. The book says burnout can even show up as criticizing colleagues, which doesn't actually help anyone.
It's a temporary fix that ultimately makes things worse.
And then there's the resentment that can build when you see others succeeding while you're feeling stuck.
A downward spiral.
So building that capacity for healthy relationships, it starts with each of us. Tackling that burnout and really cultivating a strong sense of self-worth that's not based on comparing ourselves to others, but on our own personal growth.
So then we can build what McClatchy calls functional, respectful relationships.
The kind that are built on trust, where everyone can focus on serving the customer. Here's something really interesting he points out. Those same skills that make our work relationships better, they also improve our personal lives.
It's all connected.
Right. It's not like we can just flip a switch and be one way at work and totally different at home.
So how do we actually build those better relationships?
Well, the book gives us this really useful framework. It's called the 5 levels of maturity model.
5 levels. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Level 1, it's all about recognizing and acknowledging people.
Sounds pretty basic.
It is. But you'd be surprised how many problems stem from this level. It goes beyond just saying hi. It's about showing genuine respect.
A real greeting, looking someone in the eye.
Exactly. And when people fail at this level, whether it's intentional or not, it's a sign of immaturity. Think about those power games you sometimes see.
Like who says hello first or tries to dominate the handshake.
Right. McClatchy says this stuff is just insecurity and ego talking.
Makes you realize how much of that goes on.
And then you have people who withhold acknowledgement as some kind of power move.
Which, let's face it, just screams insecurity.
The book says achieving level 1 maturity is not something you automatically get. You earn it by consistently showing respect. So what do you do when you're dealing with someone who just doesn't get this?
Good question.
McClatchy's advice is actually really practical. He says you can't control how others act, but you can control yourself.
Keep doing what you're doing. Be respectful.
Exactly. But he also suggests being strategic. Limit your interactions with those people who consistently fail at this level.
Yeah.
You've seen the pattern. Now you can manage your interactions to protect yourself.
Smart. Minimize the damage.
But, and this is important, he says, intention matters. Briefly acknowledging someone who's super focused on a task is totally different from deliberately ignoring someone to make a point.
Huge difference. It's all about context.
Okay, level 2. This is where things get a bit more meaty. It's about exchanging facts and honoring agreements.
Building on that foundation of acknowledgement.
Yes. At this level, it's about communicating honestly and reliably.
So being truthful without feeling the need to always be right or to correct everyone else.
McClatchy gives this great example. Let's say someone messes up a minor detail in a story. A mature response is to just let it slide, you know, prioritize the relationship instead of jumping in to prove your own knowledge.
We've all met that person who loves to nitpick every little thing.
Nobody likes that. It just erodes goodwill, especially in new relationships. Level two is also all about setting those clear agreements, making sure everyone's on the same page about how things will work.
Like getting verbal buy-in on new procedures or setting ground rules for the team?
Speaking of ground rules, the book gives some great examples. Things like, there are no dumb questions, to create that safe space for asking questions.
Love that one.
Or, if you have a problem with someone, address it with them directly. No gossiping behind their back.
Direct communication is key.
And my personal favorite, we talk about our colleagues the same way, whether they're in the room or not.
Respect, even when they're not there to hear it.
And of course, the golden rule. Treat each other with the same respect you expect to receive. And if you mess up, apologize sincerely.
Those are solid guidelines. Any team could benefit from that.
But here's the thing. What happens when those agreements are broken?
Because let's face it, it's bound to happen.
How do you hold someone accountable without ruining the relationship? Because that's a big theme in the book.
Addressing that conflict in a healthy way.
McClatchy gives us a script for this, and it's surprisingly simple.
Okay, I'm all ears.
First, ask for a private conversation. That shows respect. Then you state the agreement that was made and how the behavior is not matching up.
Keep it factual, no emotions.
Exactly. And then the goal is to get back on the same page, agree on how to adjust the behavior going forward. The book even gives an example. We agreed the report would be in by the 12th. It's now the 13th and I haven't received it. This delay puts our team in a tight spot.
Straight to the point, no blame.
And the book emphasizes timeliness.
Addressing issues before they fester.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And privacy, so you don't embarrass anyone.
Maintaining that respect.
The point isn't to punish someone, it's to get the behavior back on track so the team can keep moving forward.
Makes sense.
All right, level three, navigating differing opinions. I feel like this is especially relevant these days.
Oh, absolutely, with all the polarization and diverse viewpoints.
It's about respecting boundaries and individual rights, even when you completely disagree.
Accepting that people are entitled to their own perspectives, even if they're different from ours.
And the book wisely points out that sometimes it's best to just avoid certain topics at work, like politics or religion.
Those can get heated fast.
And you probably won't change anyone's mind.
True. Just create unnecessary tension.
But what about when those differing opinions are about work stuff, like strategy or how to do things?
Yeah, you can't exactly avoid those conversations.
Right. That's where building a solid business case comes in.
Data-driven decision-making.
McClatchy says your opinions need to be backed up by facts, and the focus should always be on what's best for the customer. He gives this example of a client, a heavy machinery company, where decisions were made based on one manager's opinion.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was. That my way or the highway attitude killed innovation and created a toxic environment.
The takeaway is we need to move away from ego-driven decisions.
And focus on what the data tells us, what the customer actually needs.
So it's not enough to just say, I think we should do this.
You have to explain why. Show how your idea will benefit the customer and ultimately the business.
A well-reasoned argument.
Now, the book does say there might be times when the company's mission trumps the financial case.
Interesting.
But even then, you still need to think about the money and what you might be giving up. Level three maturity is all about making decisions based on what truly serves the customer, not on office politics, who's the boss, or personal agendas.
Sounds ideal, but is it realistic?
It's something to strive for. And on the flip side, a failure at this level, that's when you see people mocking others for their opinions or making decisions based on anything but what the customer needs.
Okay, let's keep moving. What's level four all about?
Level four is about playing to strengths and working around weaknesses.
So acknowledging that everyone has their shortcomings.
Exactly. McClatchy starts by talking about this thing called negativity bias. It's basically our natural instinct to notice what's wrong.
Like that primal survival mechanism.
And our ego can get in the way too, making us focus on others' weaknesses to feel better about ourselves.
Oh, I've definitely seen that happen.
But level four maturity, it means fighting that urge and instead choosing to see the good in people.
Focus on their strengths.
He calls it benevolent judgment. It's like that saying, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, but in a work setting. And the book makes this point that our most successful relationships in work and life work this way.
We appreciate people for their talents and find ways to work around those areas where they're not as strong.
It's like in marketing. You highlight the great things about a product and kind of downplay the not so great things.
Smart strategy.
And one of the best ways to play to someone's strengths is to give them positive feedback. McClatchy even explains the science behind it.
Oh, tell me more.
Genuine praise. It triggers dopamine in the brain, which makes people feel good and want to keep doing that good work.
So showering people with compliments.
Well, not exactly. He says the positive feedback needs to be separate from any corrective feedback.
So it feels genuine and not like you're sandwiching criticism between compliments.
Exactly. The praise needs to stand on its own.
Mm.
And there's some tips for making it really effective.
Let's hear them.
First, be sincere. Don't just say stuff you don't mean. Second, be specific. Tell them exactly what you appreciate.
And third,
give that positive feedback independently, not right before or after you're about to correct them on something. Now, what about those times when we do need to address weaknesses?
Can't ignore those forever.
Right. That's where corrective feedback comes in. And when it's done well, it can really help people grow.
But it takes courage from the person giving the feedback.
And humility from the person receiving it.
It's a two-way street.
McClatchy says the real test is your intention. Are you truly trying to help this person get better, or are you just criticizing them? He gives this corrective feedback script.
Okay, break it down.
You start by asking permission to give the feedback. Then you clearly state what you observed.
Just the facts.
Then you invite them to share their perspective. You listen.
Important stuff.
Then you work together to agree on what the desired behavior should be. And lastly, you reiterate your positive intent and your belief that they can improve.
Sounds very collaborative.
And the book has all these real-world examples, like how to run better meetings, address tardiness, even talk about personal hygiene.
Yeah, those are some tricky conversations.
And the key is to build that trust first through positive reinforcement.
So they're more open to hearing the corrective feedback.
Exactly. So level 4, it's all about focusing on strengths, giving genuine praise, and giving constructive criticism with the right intention.
Focus on helping people grow.
Now, for the final level, level 5.
The best league one.
This is where we get into the deep stuff. Understanding intrinsic and extrinsic motivators.
Sounds complicated.
It's about truly understanding what makes people tick.
Their needs, their goals, their dreams.
And then acting in a way that supports those drivers.
Showing them that we care about their success, not just our own.
And that requires vulnerability from both sides.
Sharing what really matters to us.
McClatchy gives an example of a manager who knows their employee wants to be a public speaker.
Okay.
So the manager proactively looks for opportunities for them to present within the company.
That's really supportive.
Right. And that kind of genuine support, it builds loyalty and motivation. McClatchy says that some relationships, especially with family and close friends, they need this deep level of understanding to work long term.
It makes sense. You can't have a truly strong relationship without really understanding what the other person needs and wants.
And great leadership, it requires that same level of trustworthiness. Can your team truly believe you'll use your understanding of them to help them grow, or will you use it against them?
That's a big question for leaders to ask themselves.
And here's a little caveat. The book talks about the trap of ego at this level.
How so?
Just because you know about the 5 levels, it doesn't mean you're automatically better than everyone else.
Right. Knowledge isn't everything.
It's about humbly using what you know to build better connections. Now that we've got the 5 levels down, the book tackles how to deal with people who might be at different levels than you are.
Because not everyone's going to be at that level 5.
Exactly. People get stuck at different levels because of their past experiences, their background.
Makes sense. We're all products of our experiences.
And McClatchy introduces this idea of relationship biases. He tells this story about these newcomers to a town who ask a wise person what the people are like.
Okay.
And the wise person asks them, well, what were the people like in your last town? Those who badmouth their old neighbors, they ended up finding the new town awful too.
Interesting.
But those who spoke fondly of their old town, they found the new one to be great.
So our perspective shapes our reality.
It's a powerful reminder that we tend to see in others what we already believe.
And that ties into the principle of reciprocity.
Right. How we treat others influences how they treat us.
What goes around comes around.
So how do we navigate those day-to-day interactions when people are different maturity levels?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
McClatchy says to adjust your approach based on where the other person's at. So if someone's stuck at level 3, cling to their opinions, you might need to dial it back to level 2.
Focus on the facts, the agreements.
And if they're even less mature, with their ego getting in the way of everything, you might have to stick to level 1.
Just basic respect and limited engagement.
The key is to stay true to your own commitment to relational maturity, regardless of where the other person's at.
Lead by example.
And the book talks about all the benefits of achieving level 5 maturity.
What kind of benefits?
Well, you become someone people trust. You can hold others accountable effectively.
Sound like good leadership qualities.
You're able to admit your own mistakes, and you can accept apologies and criticism gracefully.
That takes maturity.
And this is a big one for companies. You can retain those valuable employees because you understand their needs and motivations.
Meeting their needs, not just exploiting them.
And perhaps the most profound benefit is the ability to manage your ego, especially when others are successful.
Not letting jealousy or envy poison the relationship.
A truly mature person can genuinely celebrate the success of others without feeling threatened.
And those are the people who make the best leaders, partners, parents, you name it.
The book also has some interesting things to say about promotions. It challenges the traditional way of doing things,
which is,
you know, promoting the top performer or the person who's been there the longest.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, promoting the top performer doesn't mean they'll be a good manager. They might not have those coaching skills or the ability to develop others. And they might become territorial.
Hoarding knowledge instead of sharing it.
And promoting solely on seniority, well, that can lead to stagnation, especially in today's fast-paced world.
Companies need leaders who can adapt.
Glanchey's argument is that level 5 maturity should be a top consideration for promotions.
Because it fosters trust and collaboration.
Exactly. And that ties back to what we were talking about earlier. Relationships are the foundation of a healthy workplace culture. And finally, the book wraps up by talking about how level 5 leadership embraces change.
Which can be a big challenge for organizations.
Level 5 leaders, they're all about continuously improving speed and quality for the customer. And they get that relationship problems are a major obstacle to that.
Those internal battles just get in the way.
By building a culture of level 5 maturity, they minimize those issues, creating a team that's more adaptable and resilient. McClatchy points out that resistance to change usually comes from one of two things.
What are they?
Laziness or ego. Either people just don't want to put in the effort, or they're afraid of looking bad if they have to learn something new.
Makes sense. Change can be threatening.
So it all comes back to managing our egos and building a team where everyone's working towards that shared goal of delivering exceptional value to the customer.
And continuously improving.
That's a powerful message. Well, this has been an incredible deep dive into Steve McClatchy's Leading Relationships. I've learned so much. Thanks for guiding us through this.
My pleasure. It's a book packed with practical advice for anyone navigating the world of human interaction.
And to our listeners, we want to hear from you. What was the most surprising or impactful thing you learned from this deep dive?
What resonated with you the most?
Share your favorite moment or takeaway in the comments below. And if you found these principles valuable, pass this deep dive on to anyone who might benefit.
And as you think about this conversation, I want to leave you with something to ponder. Think about one relationship in your life. It could be a colleague, a family member, a friend. What's one principle from the 5 levels of maturity that you can start applying today to strengthen that connection? What kind of ripple effect could that one small change create?
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in our next deep dive.